nothing about the nonsensical ravings of a lunatic mind.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
You know, it is, it's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
You know, we've seen three glowing figures out in the field. It seemed like their heads were glowing.
This is Jim.
Hey, and this is Mike.
Be sure to listen to
the Jim and Mike Talk Podcast.
Two Gen Xers walk into a bar
to talk about music
and what moves them.
You can find us on iTunes, Spotify,
and our host site, Podbean.
And now, on to the Paranormal Patriot.
Welcome one, welcome all. Another week, another episode of the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat, my name is Tom Velasquez. I hope everyone listening had a great Labor Day weekend. This show is actually running a day late because of the Labor Day weekend. I originally recorded this show on Thursday before I met my family up north on Friday for a camping trip. And lo and behold, apparently a file that has not yet been created had been corrupted. I can't figure that out, but I couldn't record it, so it is being recorded late on Labor Day. So I hope you enjoy this show because it's going to be an interesting show. We talked about the paranormal the last two shows for the most part. We're going to get back to the politics. We're going to get back to just the news in general. We're going to talk Joe Biden. We're going to talk Nancy Pelosi. We're going to talk COVID and the CDC. We are also going to talk about maybe a little paranormal, depending on what how the time constraints of the show go. But this show is going to be very interesting. And what I want to do is I want to talk to you in the first part of the show about something that a couple of listeners have been emailing me about. And again, if you want to get a hold of me, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. But a couple people have asked me lately, you know, Tom, do you really believe we're heading for a civil war? And every day, every single day, it seems closer and closer to what I believe America will be in, the second civil war. You can call it the second revolutionary war, because that's what we're right at the precipice of. America is right on the tipping point of another revolution. Now, not this past Labor Day weekend. I spent Labor Day weekend with some great friends. Everybody who's listening to the show that was with us over Labor Day, thank you for the great time. Amazing. We got it. We're going to do it again. But not last weekend, not Labor Day weekend, but the weekend before, I was camping with my brother, and you might have heard me talk about him on the show. He's the brother that I have the other side of the Paranormal Patriot, and that's the music side. He's multiple, myself, and I'm Tommy V. And we were sitting around the fire one night, and he just looks at me and says, you know, I was listening to When the World Goes Down the other day, and it's almost like we are prophets, because everything we talked about on that song seems like it's coming through today. Now, when I wrote the lyrics to that song, I wrote the lyrics probably in mid to late 2019. And they seem to be coming true more and more today as each day passes. So what I want to do is I want to play for you the song When the World Goes Down. What I want you to do is listen to the lyrics. Because, again, this is all before all the unrest. Yeah, we were talking about COVID because Nick's part, multiple myself's part, did talk about coronavirus. We kind of redid a little bit of a lyric change in that one to kind of get more up to the times. But everything we talked about is spot on with what is going on today, because the media, they are pitting families against families. And we'll get into that later. But I want you to listen to this song. And if you like the song, we're on Spotify, Tidal, Amazon, Google, who else is out there? iTunes, wherever you get your music from, you can download it, stream it, but listen to it and listen to the lyrics. And keep in mind, this was for the most part written in 2019. See if it talks about the world today. So here it is, When the World Goes Down by Multiple Myself and Tommy V.
I'm gonna shatter your world right now. I'm gonna blow your mind as I tell you the deal. Life is tough, but you make it harder. You got your own views and you're gonna take them harder. We've been trained to hate one another. Mindless drones, man, do I even bother? Trading ourselves for civil war. Fighting those we love, but we don't love anymore. Has it all come down to this? Watching loved ones die as we plan to do this kiss? We're gonna be when the world goes down. When the world goes down, where you gonna be when the world goes down? You gonna break the spell or stand your ground? Where you gonna be when the world goes down? Where you gonna be when the world goes down? Where you gonna be when the world goes down? It's time to change it up and spread the word around.
So if you listen to the lyrics of that song, you caught me talking about how you can't trust the media, how the media is portraying you and how they're manipulating you into believing one thing. I talked about how we're training ourselves for civil war and we're going to fight the ones we love but we don't love anymore. That was my way of saying we are fighting against family and friends, because in America, all over America, and even around the world, doesn't matter what country you're in, the media has manipulated you to the point that you have family and you have friends that will not talk to you and you will not talk to them due to their political affiliations and their beliefs. Now, normally, in an everyday instance, that's not that big of a deal. It happens all the time. Usually those people come to their senses and make up. But in this day and age, we have got a media. And let's be honest, we have got a Democratic Party that is hell-bent on dividing the country, because they realize that when the country is divided, we cannot get anything done. We cannot come together. We all know the old saying, a country divided upon itself cannot stand. And that is absolutely true, because a country that is divided, look at the Roman Empire. Nobody conquered per se in defeated the Roman Empire. It was taken out by greed, corruption, and power-hungry politicians. And we are at that point in America. So we have half the country that is all for BLM, all for defunding the police, all for being a Democrat socialist republic. And then you have another 50% of the people that are freedom-loving, Second Amendment people, who believe that we the people should be governing this country. We should not let any one politician tell us what to do. Now, back when I was growing up, we had the same thing. Actually, back just a couple of years ago, we had the same situation. We had half the people that were leaning one way, half the people that were leaning the other. What changed? What changed was we have these George Soroses of the world, these Rothschilds of the world that are funding these Antifa, these BLM, Marxist, socialist groups, and encouraging them, and in some points, paying them to riot and loot and cause mayhem and destruction. Because the Democrats, they believe that this is the way to make Trump look bad. There's Russian collusion. That didn't work. Then Jill Stein got on board with the Democrats and wanted to do a recount, which actually proved Trump had more votes than originally thought. Go figure. Then it went into the Steele dossier and how horrible the Steele dossier looked for Trump. And then that moved into impeachment, and everything failed miserably. Now, one thing I do want you to know, we've heard all these Democrats talking about how Trump failed to react to the coronavirus pandemic, quote-unquote pandemic. I call it a plandemic. But every Democrat out there saying, yeah, Trump failed. He failed to act on this. He is unqualified for the position. But what nobody is talking about, nobody in the media, nobody on the left, nobody on the news, they're not talking about during the height of the buildup of the coronavirus shutdown, Trump was locking down our country from flights from Asia, from China. The Democrats, what were they doing at the height of when this was building up? They were trying a circus of an impeachment process, one that they knew was not going to go anywhere, but they did it anyway just to try and make Donald Trump look worse. And all it did, just like anything else the Democrats threw at Donald Trump, he just beat it off with a stick, and it made Donald Trump look better. His approval ratings went through the roof. His job performance went through the roof because people were starting to see, hey, he's being impeached, and he's still getting stuff done. The Democrats, they aren't doing anything. People are starting to see that. People are starting to wake up. I really, truly believe so. But impeachment didn't work. So I really, truly think that this pandemic has been derived to take away Donald Trump's credibility. Because really, what was going to get Donald Trump elected by a landslide in 2016 was the economy. You look at every single state that has been shut down and its economy destroyed, it's a Democrat-run state. Nevada, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Ohio, California, Oregon, Washington, just to name a few. Those are states that have been completely shut down. Their economies are decimated. Now, the Democrat plan worked for a while because the American economy just took a nosedive. What they weren't counting on is a V-shaped recovery. And what is a V-shaped recovery? Well, what they wanted was the economy to nosedive and then sit for months and months on end just floundering, and then gradually come back up after Joe Biden's elected, of course. But what happened is these businesses started to open in these Democrats-controlled states. These businesses, they started to ease restrictions. And then the economy, instead of just gradually coming up, it shot right up. Keep in mind that the unemployment rate in this country was not a very accurate unemployment rate, because it's not like there were not jobs out there. This was not the result. The 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18% unemployment was not a result of a horrible economy. It was the result of governors across the country shutting businesses down illegally, because you can't do that. The government cannot control the commerce in this country. They can't. And for those conservatives that said, well, Tom, Donald Trump should have done something. He should have just said, nope, we're going to open them up. You have no power. Touche. Hold on. I'm going to come back with, because I get that a lot. Donald Trump, I get a lot of people telling me, why didn't he go after these governors and tell them, you have no right. I'm going to put an executive order out to open these, open all these states up. Donald Trump is a smart man. He read the Constitution. How the Constitution actually works is the federal governor, or the federal government is kind of like the overseer. It just kind of floats over there and checks things out. Every state has its own decision on how things are to be done. Why do you think so many people are leaving California? Why do you think so many people are leaving New York? Because they're fed up with what their states are doing. Now, the problem with that is they're going to go to Texas and Florida and Georgia and still have their Democratic views, but they're going to have the luxury of being in a Republican stronghold where there's lower taxes, more job opportunities, and more job creation. And they're going to ruin that. And you're seeing that happening in Texas right now. You're getting a lot of illegals voting. You're getting a lot of people coming from Minnesota, the Democrats from Michigan, the people from New York, up on the East Coast. They're going down and either going to Florida or they're going to Alabama or they're going to Texas. And Texas is getting closer and closer to going Democratic across the board. And when that happens, when you factor in Texas and California, there's no way a Republican is ever going to win an election again. But regardless, I truly think this pandemic was planned. And I know a lot of people are going to call me crazy on this, but I truly think that this is a way to see how many people are going to be compliant with what the government tells you to do. The government tells you to do something. How many people are going to sit there and say, yes, we are going to wear a mask. Yes, we are going to shelter in place. Yes, I'm going to close my business to the point that it will never return. They want to see how many people will just blindly follow what the government says. And they want to know how many people are going to stand up and counter that. And honestly, it's a 50-50 endeavor. I mean, people, in my neck of the woods, I wear a mask, but it's only because I don't want to get these businesses in trouble. These businesses are hurting left and right. And I don't want to be the one going in there and having somebody from the state of Michigan in there and I'm not wearing a mask and they're not saying anything and then they get shut down. I don't want to be responsible for that. Where I work, we don't wear a mask. People come in and tell me all the time, man, thank God you aren't enforcing that. And I said, no, we're not stupid. I stopped playing make-believe years ago. But they're showing the people in this country who is going to be compliant with the government and who is not. And then we're going to add into it the Black Lives Matter, the Antifa, the radical left, the socialist party that is being funded by George Soros. And somebody has got to look into the finances of George Soros, honestly, because his fingerprints are all over this. You just don't have pallets of bricks showing up in a city that is been pre-planned to have a protest. It just doesn't happen unless it's planned. So let's just say, for example, Minnesota, Minneapolis. They're going to protest. They know BLM is going to protest. All of a sudden, you go on the street corner, there's a pallet of bricks there. There's no construction there. Nobody's building anything there. There's just a pallet of bricks. Where do you think that came from? And you can sit there and tell me I'm a quack. That never happened. It happened. There's video of people dropping them off. There's photos of these pallet of bricks just sitting on the corner, and then the next morning, they're gone. It's we are being manipulated. The media is telling us, and you know, I'm sure you've all seen it, the video in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where the reporter from CNN is literally doing a report behind or in front of a burning building. Behind him is a burning building, and he has the gall to tell us this is a mostly peaceful protest with a burning building behind him. And the problem is there are people going, yes, these aren't rioters, these are protesters. The same people that tell you, well, you know, there's only a small majority of people that are causing problems. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's only a small portion of cops that are causing problems, but they don't get a break. Why is it that we will go halfway around the world to go kill terrorists in another country, but here in America, we have terrorists in our own cities, and we just let them do whatever they please? And it's because the media has made them out to be heroes. We have a hero who raped a 14-year-old girl, was shot 7 times because he was refusing arrest. He was resisting arrest. He had a weapon, and he was leaning in his car in a very violent manner. In a very, I shouldn't say violent, but let's just call it suspicious manner. The cops had no choice at that point. We have sports athletes putting his name across their helmet. They're honoring this man, if you want to call him that, who raped a 14-year-old girl. And I've seen the posts of this 14-year-old girl's aunt who says, my niece is horrified. She is distraught that people are looking at this man who sexually assaulted her and making him out to be a hero. And that's what America is now. If you are black and you have been shot by the police, you are automatically a hero. George Floyd, he was completely wasted on fentanyl. He was resisting arrest. He was placed into custody and was killed. I'll call it like it is. He was killed. He had politicians. He had a gold casket at his funeral. If we had a loved one who died during this coronavirus pandemic, we couldn't have a funeral for our loved ones. One of my wife's cousin's father died. They can't have a funeral for him. But yet George Floyd, who gets a gold casket, gets heads of state coming to see him, there are thousands of people there. But this 5-year-old boy who was walked up to while he was riding his bike with his siblings, shot in the head execution style for no reason whatsoever, you don't hear a word about it. You tell me that there is not an agenda. You tell me that the media is not pushing Black Lives Matter and Antifa, and they are not trying. You tell me the media is not trying to put down the white race as racist, as bigots, as privileged. Because that's what's happening in the country today. And what they're doing is they're leading us towards civil war. Now, I don't care who, I do care, but in this particular instance, I don't care who wins in November. There is going to be mass violence. If Joe Biden wins the presidency, then you will find the conservatives who are starting to wake up and starting to defend themselves and their values. You are going to see them claim rigged, cheating, they're not going to accept it. It's just the way it is. It's been proven that the Democrats are rigging elections. And then you throw in the mail-in voting. Our illustrious attorney governor here in Michigan said, hey, you better not even prepare for election night. You better prepare for election week, because she says we aren't going to have results for at least a week. Are you absolutely kidding me right now? Even if we do mail-in votes, right now we are being told to get these votes to your residents now and send them back in. You have got, what, 2 months, 2.5 months now? 2 months. Over less than 2 months. Yeah, less than 2 months. Less than 2 months before the election. I'm sorry, if you can't get your ballot in before November 3rd, sorry, it's not going to count. If you can't get your ballot to be able to be voted on and counted on November 3rd, your vote is gone. Look, I can't go to the polling places on November 4th and say, hey, you know, I didn't get a chance to vote. I'd like to vote. That's just not how it works. And I have so many Democrat friends telling me, Tom, there's no difference between mail-in and absentee voting. We've been doing absentee voting for years, for decades, and it's been working fine. Yes, because when you do an absentee vote, when you are doing or voting by absentee, you have to go and tell them why you can't vote. It's not just because I'd just rather it be mailed to my house. I'd rather mail it in. No, you have to have a legitimate reason for not voting. Plus, the big thing is you have to offer ID. I've told you all about the mail-in ballots that I received at my residence. 4 of them two to each person that lived in this house 10 years ago. The former owners of this house received two, not just one, two mail-in ballots. You can't tell me that that is not ripe for fraud. And why do you think the Democrats are pushing mail-in balloting so hard? It's because they know they can't win the normal way. They tried to do the Electoral College, how the Electoral College is unfair and it needs to be abolished, and that was shot down. So this is their next step. They are going to do mail-in ballots. And Jimmy Carter, back in 2009, Jimmy Carter, we all know the peanut farmer from Georgia, worst president, one of the worst presidents in the history of the United States, came out and said in 2009 that mail-in voting is ripe for fraud. He's a Democrat. He's a socialist. And he said mail-in voting is ripe for fraud just over 10 years ago. So something happened in those 10 years where it's not even a problem now. Well, I'm sorry, mail-in voting, when you mail something in, it still does the same thing. Look at how many times they've done practice. These networks are sending dozens and dozens of mail out to see if it gets to the people. Half of it doesn't even get there. And if half of those people mail it back, half of those people, it never goes back. Listen, I've heard it before. If they were giving out stimulus checks, and if Donald Trump's smart, he's gonna do that. If they say, come and vote in person, and you can get your stimulus check, we'll give you another $1,000 stimulus check. Holy shit, the lines would be lined up around the block. And then you get the idiots that say, well, Tom is just not safe during this pandemic. But no, these are the same people that are walking around Walmart, walking around Kroger, walking around Publix, and just not a care in the world. Because that's what their government said is okay. But their government, if they live in a left-leaning state, is telling them, hey, it's not safe to vote in public. Just get your mail in. We'll take care of the rest. If you don't see that's why they're pushing this, then you're blind as can be. Now, the media has proven to us in the last couple weeks that all they want to do is perpetuate the violence. As long as there's violence being shown on TV, that is the news. Execution of a 5-year-old little boy in front of his sisters by a black man doesn't qualify for news. But people rioting because they feel they have to riot to show their cause? Okay, that's news. Let me ask you this. How much coverage have you seen of all of these boat Trump parades or these Trump boat parades that you're seeing all over the country? Bay City, Michigan just had one. Texas, Florida, Georgia just had one. They're getting 10 to 15,000 boats all decked out in Trump agenda, Trump paraphernalia. And they're just floating by in just a huge parade. How much coverage are you seeing of that? Joe Biden leaves his basement and it's front page news. We're going to get into Joe Biden in just a minute here. But listen, I really truly think that if Joe Biden wins, the conservatives are going to come out and they're going to be pissed. And I don't think they, the conservatives, are going to come out and start looting and rioting. What's going to happen is they are going to protest. And then you're going to get the BLM and Antifa out there and they're going to clash. Because that's what news is. That's what makes news. Because they're teaching these idiots at BLM and Antifa that you are the hero if you go out and you cause havoc and you cause death and you cause problems in the neighborhoods that you live in, or even if you don't live in, you could be a new star if we see you online throwing a Molotov cocktail at somebody, if we see you throwing the lid of a trash can at the cop and hitting them in the head and knocking them down, you could be a new viral star. But if Trump wins, oh my gosh, it is going to be World War III here. It's going to be civil war in this country because you are going to see not only BLM and Antifa, but then the liberals, the snowflakes, those participation trophy recipients are going to come out in droves. And you think 16 was a nightmare? You wait. But here's the problem. Now you've got the right, the patriots, the Second Amendment activists, the militia is now involved in this. You've got them involved. And I'm going to tell you right now, I hear all these BLM and Antifa people online spouting off how they're coming to the suburbs next. The Cosmic Dreamer was just telling me about a video we saw in Portland, how they're going into neighborhoods, wake up, MFer, and they start pounding on the houses, pounding on the doors. Please continue to do that, BLM and Antifa. Go to the suburbs, go into rural America, please, because you may have it good in the cities where the governors and the mayors are like, well, they deserve their own little area. In middle America and in real America where people actually own guns and the police department is not afraid of you and they're just telling their people, hey, you get these idiots coming to your door, shoot them, blow them away. What was it? Polk County, the sheriff said, listen, you can come here. You can protest. It's your right. But he also had a message. He said, hey, to the citizens of Polk County, if these idiots are coming into your, or coming up to your house and pounding on your doors and you feel threatened, blow them away. Blow them back across your front yard. Notice how BLM and Antifa have not been in the suburbs and not been in rural America yet. Because they know we can't go there. These people have guns and they are not afraid to shoot back. Because that's how it is. And that's what's going to happen. You are going to see, if Trump wins, you are going to see BLM and Antifa going crazy. And they are going to be emboldened by the media, who is going to say that Trump stole the election. Trump stole the election. And they are going to be pissed. And you are going to have the Democrats. Michelle Obama already said, look, fight them. If this doesn't get fixed now, it's going to get worse. She is basically telling these protesters, if we don't win, you go out and you cause havoc. And these protesters are going to be emboldened to go into these little cities, these little towns, middle America. And they're going to start messing with these houses. They're going to start pounding on the front doors. They're going to start setting fire to the trees. And they're going to start breaking windows of these houses. And you're going to have these good old boys coming out with their shotguns, with their ARs, with their sniper rifles. And they're just going to start picking these people off. And it's going to be a bloodbath. The only unknown on this, in this whole Civil War thing, is the military. What would the military do? And I got a couple numbers here that kind of surprised me. And it's from, where was it? Oh, gosh, where was it here? Oh, here it is. 2019 Georgetown University poll. Now, I realize Georgetown University is a raging liberal lunatic university, but they had a poll. And what they did is they polled each branch of the military, and they wanted to see how much percentage of these branches approved of President Trump's performance. The Marine Corps, 65 plus. The Navy, 49%. The Army, 38%. The Air Force, 36%. Now, first off, that amazes me. If this number is correct, that amazes me, because right now Donald Trump is going through a crisis, I guess you could say, of another anonymous source who will not give their name, can't verify that it happened, has no record, you know, won't come forward and say, yep, this is when it happened, this is what was here, this is what was said. Of him going to France and looking at the soldiers and calling them losers, and come on. Donald Trump is one of the biggest supporters of our military that this country has ever seen. Aside from Ronald Reagan and maybe Abraham Lincoln and, you know, other presidents I don't know about, he's unlike our previous president who just decimated our military by cutting their budget. But what Barack Obama did, and this is where these numbers may come into place, during the first 5 years of his office, Barack Obama fired at least 197 military officers, and that led to the speculation that he is just purging the military of pro-America, pro-conservative personnel, and he filled them with, let's call them anti-America, socialist, supporters, socialist sympathizers, I guess you would say. Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, the idiot that was a part of the impeachment process, he's an Obamaite. And again, the speculation was that Obama was purging the military of people who would essentially look at the situation of a civil war and say, we are supporting the Constitution. Instead, he filled those positions with people who think, just like the Democrats do, that the Constitution is an outdated piece of paper. That is, when we talk about civil war in this country, that is the wild card. Because what happens if the military gets involved? Does the military shoot upon American citizens? Or does the military back the government? Who is in government at that point? Is it going to be a democratically controlled government? Is it going to be a Trump-controlled government? Who knows? That is the unknown. But let me tell you right now, we are going to see more and more violence. November, who knows when the final results are coming in? Whenever the final results of the presidency come in, you are going to find a huge uptick in violence across this country. And in this humble host opinion, you are going to see it not just in the major cities like Portland, Chicago, New York, Seattle, something in Georgia. You're going to see it in the suburbs of America, because at that point, people are going to be just done. They have broken us. And the last thing we can do is just fight to save what we believe is right. Whatever side of the fence you're on, that's what side you're going to be fighting for. What I'd like you to do is contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Let me know what you think. Do you think that this country is heading towards, you can call it an armed conflict, you can call it Democrat versus Republican, you can call it a second civil war. What do you think? Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and I got to talk to you about Joe Biden. I got to talk to you about Nancy Pelosi, because I also have to talk to you real quick about the CDC. Can't forget that one. We're going to go over what is going on in this world, and it's even getting more crazy than we ever expected. So remember, sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
This is Harvey Gott, and I'm the host of Satire Is Not Dead. Join me every Wednesday for new episodes. Satire Is Not Dead is in the Cinescape Media Network. You can learn more about this program and other programs by visiting cinescape.media.
I want to get into this part real quick because I have a theory that I really want to mention to you, because nobody else has talked about this theory that I know about. Everywhere that I listen, nobody's ever mentioned it. But the CDC came out last week and said, well, we're looking at the numbers on the deaths regarding COVID, and we're going to change them a little bit, because 94% of the deaths that were attributed to COVID, these people had underlying conditions, like Alzheimer's, cancer, bad heart, you name it. Only 6% of the people that died really didn't die of anything but COVID. And that was huge, and you really didn't hear a lot about it because it goes against the narrative of the fear-mongering. But I've had idiots, and this is exactly what I talk about when I tell you that there are people so brainwashed in this world, in this country, that they are going to believe anything the government says. I had people say, Tom, there's your proof. You can sit there and tell me that 6% of the people, that 94% of the people didn't die of COVID. but they had COVID in their system. So the COVID exacerbated the issue, and therefore they died of COVID. That's not true. If you have cancer and you die in literally what's going to kill you, the cancer, or you may have an immune system that's suppressed and you may have gotten COVID, but you died of cancer, because if you didn't have cancer, your immune system would not have been suppressed. If you had a heart attack because you had a bad heart, even though you had COVID in your system, you still died of a heart attack. That's like saying you were driving, got in a fatal car accident that you did not survive. You had COVID in your system. You died of COVID. That's exactly the same mentality. So you are seeing, and this is what I'm going, what I want to tell you about. And I mentioned this to my buddy John this weekend over the Labor Day weekend. I said, listen, this is what's happening. And mark my word. You're seeing the CDC come out and say, well, you know, if you're traveling overseas, you really don't need to quarantine for 14 days now. You're seeing the CDC say, well, if you're asymptomatic and you're tested positive for coronavirus, you really don't need to quarantine now. You see the CDC come out and say, well, 94% of the people that we listed as dying of COVID actually had underlying conditions. What they're doing is conditioning us right now that this is not as bad as it seems. Why? Because it's almost election time. I've said it before. I'll say it again. After the election, something's going to happen that's going to take up the news and you'll never hear a coronavirus again. Never. When's the last thing you heard about murder hornets? Nothing. They were the next great thing, the next fear tactic that would scare the living daylights out of us, and then you just don't hear about it because people are like, eh, whatever, it's a freaking bee. Well, that one didn't work. We got to change it now. What do we do now? This is the plandemic. The CDC is just conditioning us right now to accept the fact that, well, it's not really as bad as we really thought it was. So after the election, this is gone. It's as simple as that. Let me know what you think about that one. But let's get into Joe Biden, because lately Joe Biden has left his basement. You couldn't find Joe Biden anywhere during this whole pandemic. He'd pop up on Twitter every now and then. You know, one of his handlers would tweet for him to make him look relevant. And then he'd skitter down and steps into his basement again and hide in the corner. He's starting to come out. And that's not good for the Democrats. Listen, there are going to be debates. The Democrats did whatever they could to not have Donald Trump debate Joe Biden. It's not fair. We need fact checkers there. Okay, here's my theory of fact checkers. If you have, let's just say, a room of fact checkers that look up and give you facts, isn't that what news corporations are supposed to do? Isn't that what CNN is supposed to be doing, is giving us facts? Where are the fact checkers for CNN, MSNBC? Where are they? Because that's news, right? That's what journalism is you give out and dole out facts. Why do we need fact checkers? Facebook has them all over. Half of the fact checkers on Facebook are wrong. They're opinion checkers. This is my opinion, your opinion of what I think is wrong, so therefore I have doled your fact-checking wrong, and my opinion is right. But Joe Biden, he came out of the basement, and the Democrats are terrified. I tell you what, if you are a Joe Biden handler, as I've mentioned before, you're popping the Xanax, you're popping the antacid every time he goes in front of somebody, because you're just cringing. And you're just anticipating where he says something stupid or just completely goes off on a tangent. Well, he did it again. Talking about Donald Trump's response to the coronavirus, this is what Joe Biden had to say.
Feel safer under Donald Trump? COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives, it's just... when you think about it.
What did he say? And this is where people are terrified of a Joe Biden presidency. Again, listen to this. Tell me that this man, even with the teleprompter in front of him, tell me this man does not lose his train of thought. And that should scare every American out there, because this is the man that's in charge of the nuclear button. Listen to it again. Tell me that this guy just kind of loses his train of thought and just has no idea what he's saying.
You feel safer under Donald Trump? COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. You think about it.
This is just as bad as, you know, the thing. I've said it before, and I'll continue to say it. I feel bad for the guy. I don't like the guy. He's a pedophile, and he has views different from me, which doesn't mean I hate him. I hate him because he's a pedophile. But he's being used by the Democrats because they know he's the only one. Bernie Sanders couldn't beat him. Kamala Harris couldn't beat him. Buttigieg couldn't beat him. Beto O'Rourke couldn't beat him. Well, Joe Biden's the only one that can beat him, but this guy's going senile. Let's put him up there anyway. And they're using him. And this is why the Democrats were so afraid of putting him up on a debate stage with Donald Trump. Donald Trump's going to tear him apart. But, let me give you my worry. Joe Biden has set the bar so low. So low that anything he does above catastrophic is a win. Everybody is expecting Donald Trump to mop the floor with Joe Biden. If for some reason Joe Biden doesn't even hold his own, but he just doesn't look like an idiot and a bumbling fool, that's a win on the debate stage for Joe Biden. That's where we are. Listen, regardless of what happened, you need debates. You need to let the American public know what each candidate stands for in a live setting. And you need to know how these candidates think on their feet. Say what you want. I think a lot of voters were swayed to Donald Trump when Hillary Clinton said, you know, I'm glad Donald Trump is in the charge of the law in our country. And Donald Trump, just like that, came back because you'd be in jail. He is quick on his feet. But I'm a little worried because I don't want him to look like he's bullying an old man, an old senile man, because you know that's what the press is going to say. They're going to look at any time Joe Biden flubs up and Donald Trump takes advantage of it, they're going to look at it as, oh, he's bullying Joe Biden. What a bully. He is a horrible, horrible bully. That's my worry on these debates. Now, lastly on this subject, I want to give you, and I was sent this from a listener. Thank you, John from Iowa. I was sent this from a listener, and it is basically Obama's, you know, I endorse Joe Biden's speech from the convention, and intertwined with Joe Biden ridiculous. Because Democrats that listen to this show, please, I want you to know this is the man that you plan on voting for come November. Listen to this montage. It was very well done.
Choosing Joe to be my vice president was one of the best decisions I ever made.
What are we doing? What's going on right now?
I believe Joe has all the qualities we need in a president right now.
I got hairy legs.
That's Joe. He's someone whose own life has taught him how to persevere.
So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap.
How to bounce back when you've been knocked down.
Give me a break.
Joe talks about opportunity for our kids.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
And Joe talks to families who've lost a hero.
You're a lion, dog-faced pony soldier.
Through all his trials, he's never once forgotten.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by you know the thing.
And I know he'll surround himself with good people.
And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down.
That's why I'm so proud to endorse Joe Biden for president of the United States.
Now to begin with, it is no mystery that Barack Obama hates Joe Biden. There has been recorded audio that has been leaked that says, don't underestimate Joe Biden's ability to F things up. That was just recent. So you know that the Democrats are in dire straits if they have to get Barack Obama out on the DNC trail and endorse this man, because that's their last hope. Obama's Obama's a savior. Obama should still be president because he's Obama. But they can't change those rules yet, so they've got to get Joe Biden in there. Maybe Joe and Kamala will be able to do that. But you could hear just the strain in Obama's voice in the beginning when he had to endorse Joe Biden. This man is not fit to be president. But the liberals are going to put this man up, and I really, truly think it's not going to go good. And his handlers, even if they put an earpiece in his ear, even if just like Hillary Clinton in 2016, he's given the questions in advance, I think his mind's just going to wander. And there's nothing that can be done. And in a way, shame on you, Joe Biden. Shame on his wife for letting him go through with this. It almost seems like, hey, Joe, you're going to do this for me because I need this power. I want to be first lady, so let's get this done. I really feel ashamed for Joe Biden for putting him in this position. You know, if you really love this guy, just call it out for what it is. His memory, his mind is escaping him. It's deteriorating. I don't feel comfortable with Joe going on the campaign trail. I don't want him to debate Donald Trump. I don't want him to be president because I don't think he's going to be able to do it. Half the country can see it. Actually, it's over half because there are a lot of liberals that see it and just don't want to see it. But, you know, this is the world we live in. And you know what other world we live in? Hey, we live in a world where the Democrats tell us what we can and can't do. We can't go to this store. This store can't open. We can't go to the gym. We can't go to bowling alleys. We can go to Walmart. We have to wear masks. You can't go here. You can't do this. But if you're Nancy Pelosi, you can go to the hair salon, even though hair salons are closed, and walk around without a mask. And then when you're caught, don't say I made a bad decision. I take responsibility, which she did say she takes responsibility, but did she? Because she feels I was set up by this salon and they owe me an apology. So is that really taking responsibility? And let me ask this question. Nancy Pelosi, you're a politician. You are third in line for the presidency right now, God forbid. And you think that a salon is going to be able to call you up and say, hey, we're going to let you in and we're going to be just single person. Wouldn't you say, well, as a salon in my state, you shouldn't be open. You are banned from being open. So why are you calling me? No. She says, set me up. Let's go. Let's book this time. Let's get my hair done. I got to look pretty for the cameras. And then she gets caught on camera. And then she puts the blame to the salon owner. And you know what? Maybe the salon owner was setting her up. Who knows? But as third in line for the presidency, I would think that you would be in a more responsible position where you would say, well, considering there's a ban on hair salons being open, I can't take that appointment. I would appreciate it if you continue to be shut down until this quote-unquote pandemic is lifted. But what does she do? She goes there. She goes there without a mask. She gets caught and then blames everybody else. Here is what she had to say about it, and I'm going to break in at times to kind of give my thoughts on it. So here's Nancy Pelosi trying to explain herself for being caught.
No, I've been there many times. I appreciate the question. And let me just say this. I take responsibility for trusting the word of a neighborhood salon that I've been to over the years many times. And that when they said, well, we're able to accommodate people one person at a time.
So let me start off by saying I absolutely despise when a politician says, and thank you for that question. Because usually when they're saying that, they are so pissed off at you for asking that question, but they can't really say what they feel. So they're just going to patronize you by saying, well, thank you for asking that question. You know what? I would have more respect for a politician that says, man, damn it. Why would you ask that question? Now I got to answer it. Be honest with me. Nancy Pelosi, you did not want to thank them for that question because that question is the last thing you wanted to talk about. But she says, well, I take responsibility for the salon calling me and telling me that they will take a one person at a time. Again, you knew salons were closed in the state of California. So do you really take responsibility? Because when you say that, right after you say that, all you want to do is you want to go off on the salon for setting you up. So let's go a little bit more.
That when they said, well, we're able to accommodate people one person at a time and that we can set up that time, I trusted that. As it turns out, it was a setup. So I take responsibility for falling for a setup. And that's all I'm going to say on that.
Did you catch that? I take responsibility for falling for a setup. I don't take responsibility for do as I say, not as I do. And this is what infuriates me about these Democrat politicians now. Because in these Democrat-controlled states, you and I, where we can go, how we can go, and when we can go. We can now go to a gym in Michigan. You have to wear a mask while you're exercising. That's absolutely ridiculous. You can go to Walmart anytime you want, as long as they're open. And stand by 700 freaking people. You can't go to church. You can't go bowling in Michigan, but you can play football. You can play soccer in Michigan. There is no absolute rhyme or reason to anything these Democrat governors are doing. And Nancy Pelosi, shame on you. You got caught. And then when you get caught, you can't accept responsibility. You can't say, what I did was wrong. I apologize. You can say, I take responsibility for being caught in a setup. So she says, this is the last thing I'm going to say about this. But it's really not, because there's the next question that you really can't hear is going to be revolved around, well, the service industry thinks you owe them an apology. And yes, the service industry should get an apology because the service industry in California is shut down. They are not making any money, but Nancy Pelosi thinks she's above the law and can go and do whatever she wants because she's Nancy Pelosi. Listen to Nancy Pelosi's response.
Well, I don't. I think that that this salon owes me an apology for setting up. But I will say this in fairness to him and in sympathetic to him. We have to get our country moving again. And I will not let this subject take away from the fact that we have 180,000 plus people who have died from this virus. Since we passed the bill, more than half of those people have died since we passed the legislation.
So, in her humble opinion, it's the salon that owes her an apology for, quote-unquote, setting her up to break a law that she helped implement. All right. I guess. And then she completely changes the subject and tries to be politician, you know, her total politician self. And listen, I'm not going to take away the fact we need to open the economy up. We need to open these businesses up. In other words, I got caught. I am screwed. So the only thing I can do is just throw myself out to these businesses and say, like me. Let's open up the economy. And then she goes and tries to throw it back on Trump by saying, and we've had 180,000 deaths since this bill has been implemented, which has absolutely nothing to do with anything. But all she's doing is trying to divert the attention away from the fact that she got busted breaking the law. Why is she not being fined? Because if that were you and I, we would be fined. Am I not right? Am I correct in that? If we break the law in Michigan, and I'm guessing California, which is way more liberal, is the same way, I'm thinking there should be a fine in there. Maybe send them to jail. We've seen the video of the Australian pregnant woman that was arrested. They had a search warrant for her house because she made derogatory posts on Facebook about the coronavirus. They came to their house. They had a search warrant for their house, and they took her away in handcuffs.
What is going on? Why is Nancy Pelosi not on death row right now? Well, she will be eventually. Hey, that is all the time we've got on this show today. I appreciate you listening. I hope everybody again had a great Labor Day weekend. We, as my family, myself and I, we had a great weekend with all of our friends. If any of my friends are listening, we talked a lot about the Paranormal Patriot this weekend. If you're listening, thank you for the great time. We got to do this soon again. And again, if you want to be part of the show, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. If you have a podcast that you have and you would want to hear it advertised for free to a huge audience, contact me at The Paranormal Patriot. Now, I will listen to your show to make sure that that show you want me to play is going to be in conjunction with the audience I have. But listen, if you're listening to this show, I pretty much assume that you and I have the same taste. So contact me, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Make an audio file like Jim and Mike Talks and Harry Gott at Satire Is Not Dead. Let me know that you want your show advertised on The Paranormal Patriot. It is my humble honor to help those in the podcasting field because I didn't have that when I started, and I would have loved to have had a little help. So I am there to help any podcaster that feels that this show would help broaden their audience. All you got to do is send me that link at my email at ghostseeker4@charter.net. So thank you for listening this week. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. I will be back next week. And ask yourself, where are you going to be when the world goes down?
Hello, goodbye, I'm done with y'all. Can't tell anybody how you really feel. I'm going to shatter your world right now. I'm going to blow your mind as I tell you the deal. Life is tough, but you make it harder. You got your own views and you're going to take them farther. We've been trained to hate one another. Mindless drones, man, do what you want. Trading ourselves for civil war.